This is lesson HBS 32, and we're starting a new series, and the title of our series is How to Get into Position to Receive Healing. And this first lesson in the series is called The Stairway to Obtain Healing. Start a new topic, How to Get into Position to Receive Healing, or how to get someone else, a friend, someone that you know in a position to receive healing. Tonight, we're going to talk specifically about something I call the stairway to healing, and it's Bible study lesson number 32. And when we're done, you're going to have enough information to either minister yourself if you need healing or to help someone else. Now, we're going to talk about the steps to receiving healing. I'd like you to think about this as steps that we go through to get to the final result of the healing. Now, the top step is Mark 11, 23 and 24, and I'll just quote it now. We'll get into it in depth more later, but Jesus said to his disciples after he cursed the fig tree, and the fig tree died, and they were amazed. He says, Master, that fig tree which you cursed has died. And then he says, have the faith of God. He invited them to have the God kind of faith. And then he told them how to do it. He said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Then he went on to say, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. So if we just look at that verses, no problem. What things soever we desire, when we pray, if we'll just believe that we receive them, we shall have them. It's that simple. But we're going to find out sometimes it's not that simple, simply because even though that statement in itself is absolutely truth, sometimes we're not ready to believe that we receive when we pray right offhand. How do we get there? You know, a lot of times we just start with that scripture and we leave people hanging because they don't really understand quite what that scripture means, or if they do understand what it means, they think, well, how do I get to this point where I can believe I receive when I pray and not doubt? Well, we're going to show you in these lessons exactly how you would get to that position, okay? So that's kind of the top step. Once we get up there, we're ready to go. We're ready to believe that we receive when we pray. But where? How do we get there? That's the question. Well, the first step, we must have a desire to learn. Now, that's a little deeper than it sounds. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 4. And I wasn't going to go into this in such depth, but I was laying down this afternoon and thinking a little bit about these things. I just felt kind of led to, I was just going to go through verses 24 and 25. But I think I'm going to start back at the beginning of this chapter and go through it a little bit so we can see what the importance Jesus puts upon the Word of God. Now, sometimes I wish when we're talking about these lessons that I could just open up everybody's head and just put the knowledge in there. Not that I have it all, but I'm just saying put the importance of what we're going to talk about in you somehow. Because sometimes we've heard some of these scriptures before and the tendency is to go, oh, I've heard that and just going to check out. I don't want you to do that tonight. I don't think you will, but I just want to remind you, don't do that. Because what we're going to find out is there's a direct relationship between the attention and the hunger that we have for God's Word as to what we get out of it. Now, that's what the first part of the lesson is going to be about tonight. And I think we're going to learn that in a way that's very graphic. And it will enable you also to minister to some of your friends sometimes, because God's got the answer right here in His Bible. And if we'll just open our spirits to His Word, we're going to see all these little things that we need to get to the top step. It's fall logically in sequence. It's going to be very easy to get there if we'll build one step at a time. Now, let's just start off with the first step, which is basically having a desire to learn, to be teachable, to want to know how things work in the Word of God. So let's just start with verse 2. And I'm going to read these because I'm going to cover a lot of these verses, and if we're just going around the circle here, we're going to get one person reading one and another, and it's going to be kind of jerky. I'd just like to cover this in one smooth flow. It says in verse 2, Jesus taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine or teaching. Now here's what he said. Now listen to what he said to these people. He's teaching by the seaside, and there's a great multitude there, it says in verse 1. And there were so many people he got in the ship to preach. And the whole multitude must be hundreds, maybe even thousands of people. And he taught them. And he said this to these people. Now listen, hearken. What's hearken mean? It means listen up, right? Behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And then he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, let me ask you a question. If you'd have been in that multitude, and you'd have heard just what I just read you, and you were standing on the seashore listening to Jesus, what would you have learned?
Well, wherever you sow, places you sow seed, some grows and some doesn't grow.
Okay, that's a fair statement. How is that going to help you?
You're going to have to hear.
You have to hear it. You have to think about it.
Well, you only say you have to hear because you know what the rest of the parable's about, but he didn't say anything about this. He gave them something here that there's no way on earth they can figure out what he's talking about. Think about it.
Probably three-fourths of them.
He doesn't tell them what the seed is. He's just talking about a sower that goes out to sow. And if you do not know what the rest of this parable is about, all you're going to know is that some sower, some farmer went out in the field, threw out some seed. Some of it came up, some didn't, and some brought forth fruit. That's all you're going to know. He doesn't talk about seed being the word. He doesn't say one word here about hearing. Except the very last verse, he says, He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And so if you were present in that group, hearing what you heard, you'd think, but the most you would do is think back over what he just said and go, I don't get it. That's all you could get out of this. Nobody could get anything more. So what's the point? Well, read on. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him about the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Doesn't that sound hard all of a sudden? Mm-hmm. But wait a minute. Is it? Because what is he saying here? When he was alone, they that were still with him asked him a question about it. Unto you, who's you, is given to know. Who's the you? The ones that hung around. The ones that were not satisfied with what they got to this point. The ones that wanted to go a little deeper. The ones that said to themselves, I don't get it, but I know this is a man of God. There must be something here. I'm going to hang around and ask him a question after everybody goes away. Because it says here, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12. It wasn't just the 12. It was the rest of those that hung around. And then, now if you read it, it makes sense. Unto you that stayed, that were interested, that asked a question, is given to know the mystery. But unto them that didn't hang around, or didn't care, or just were here for the show, these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see and not perceive, hearing they may hear and not understand. In other words, what he's saying is, there's a lesson within a lesson here. He's going to teach a lesson about the Word of God, and he's at the same time showing them by example of what they just experienced, how it works. It's kind of interesting, a lesson within a lesson, because what he's doing is he's teaching on the Word and how important it is to really pay attention to the Word. And he's doing that by showing them, in a way, not only the words that he says, but you hear that stayed are examples of what I'm talking about. I thought, I didn't get this for a long time when I was reading this, until one day it just occurred to me, you know what? This is unfair to do this to these people, because he hasn't given them any information that could possibly help them. But then I thought, wait a minute. Some got the information. How did some get and some didn't get? What was the difference? The difference was they wanted to go deeper. They wanted to know what he meant. And you know, there's a lesson here. In reading the Bible, in studying the Bible, and even in our Bible study lessons, the degree that we'll get out of it is the degree that our curiosity and our desire to know makes us ask questions, makes us go home and search the Scriptures, makes us go home and read the outline again and say, wait a minute, I think I've got onto something there that I don't fully understand. Dig it out for yourselves. That's when you really, really start to get things from God's Word that will impact your life. So, he goes on then. And he's saying, the sower sows the Word. Up to this point, they had no idea what he meant by the sower. But see, these guys that are interested are going to find out. They ask him, I'm going to tell you. And that's just the way the Word works. You know, very little of the gold in the Word is laying on the surface. You know, when they first started mining gold in the California Gold Rush, when the first people got there, they found some nuggets just laying around. But guess what? It wasn't long until those things were all picked up and everybody had to go to work. And they had to pan for gold, they had to mine for gold, and it got harder and harder. Well, the Word of God's a little bit that way. There are some nuggets you can just pick up once in a while. But most of the real good gold that you get comes from digging, searching things out, running your concordance, things like this. And God will reveal things to you that are amazing if you'll do these things, just like he does here. So these people were a little more interested. They're scratching a little deeper. They hung around. They didn't go home with the rest. They weren't the apostles, they weren't the 12. They were just people that were hungry for God's Word. And God began to teach them. And he said, the sower sows the Word. So now we know what the seed is. These are they by the wayside where the Word is sown. But when they've heard, Satan comes immediately and takes away the Word that was sown in their heart. In other words, these are the ones that were sown on hard pavement. That wayside means the way, the path. And because the people's heart wasn't open, Satan can come immediately and take that Word out. In other words, what he's teaching the people here is, when you hear God's Word, open your heart. If it's something new you haven't heard before, open yourself up to it. Let it go in your heart. Assume that if it's God's Word, it's good for you. See, what happens sometimes is tradition or experience will make a barrier there. Like if you've been taught all your life that the baptism of the Holy Spirit isn't for today, or miracles aren't for today, or something like that, and your church teaches that, there can come a traditional barrier there, so that when the Word comes and says something is contrary to that, it can just kind of bounce off. You understand what I'm saying? Because there's a barrier that we've put up there through tradition or whatever. And that kind of seed, Satan just comes and picks it off and goes away with it, and it never does us any good. So that's the first kind. Then there are those seeds that are sown on stony ground. What happens when a seed goes into stony ground? You get a little moisture and you get a little sun, up comes the shoot. But what's wrong? There's not much root because of the hardness of the ground. But you can't tell it from looking at the little shoot, the green shoot that sticks up. It looks pretty good. But underneath it all, it's when the drier weather comes and when the sun stays out, there won't be a depth of root to hold that thing. And that's what he says was like when it was sown on stony ground. These people immediately hear the Word with gladness. They're overjoyed. But they don't have any real root in themselves. And when persecution or affliction arises, for the word's sake, immediately they're offended. In other words, it's the kind of person who, oh, this is so great. I am so glad. This is working good. And things seem to be working good. But as soon as the enemy comes in there and tries to steal that Word or create an illusion that the Word is not true or something doesn't work out right, or because they jump on the Word and they're enthused about it and they get criticized by other Christians saying, you don't believe that kind of thing. You don't, our church doesn't believe that. Then they get offended Persecution comes, they can't handle it, and it says, what do? They have no root in themselves, they are offended, and they just drop the whole thing. That's the second kind. The third kind are those which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and it takes a little longer for the plant, the word, to get choked. But what chokes it finally? Weeds. Cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And then finally there's the seed that's sown in the good ground. All right? Like all of you here tonight. I choose to believe that. Such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. The very fact that you're here tonight says that you're interested in going a little deeper with God's word. There's no law in the world that says you have to be here, but you're searching to go a little deeper with God, and so that's good. All right, now I'm getting down to verse 24 and 25, because let's read these things now and understand what the Lord means. He says, now, here's a summary. Take heed what you hear. Now, Luke's version of this whole thing says, take heed how you hear. So, since both Luke's version and Mark's version are true, what it means is, take heed to both what and how you hear. For with what measure that you meet, it will measure back to you. In other words, the effort and the degree of attention you give God's word, you will get back from God. And see, isn't that the lesson he's teaching these guys here? Just by the fact they hung around? They hung around and they got this lesson. Why? Because they were taking heed to what was heard. And they said, I don't understand this. I'm going to ask him a question after this is all over. And he said, because you did this, with the measure that you gave toward the word is to the degree that the word will be measured back to you. See, and that works for us too. The degree of attention and honor and integrity we put on the word will be the degree of depth of knowledge and wisdom and understanding God gives back to us. See, God will give us revelation knowledge of his word to the degree that we search his word and hunger for the knowledge. Okay? It's just the way it works. And unto you that hear shall be more be given. Now here's a sobering thought. For he that has, in other words, these people that hung around, to him shall be given. Listen to this. It's sobering. He that has not, from him shall be taken even that which he already now has. That says that if you don't take advantages of the times that you have to learn God's word, there will come a point in our lives at which even the things that we thought we had will be taken away from us in terms of understanding the word. And we'll almost be worse off than we were in the first place. Isn't that a sobering thought? So, the thing that's going to be key in getting into a position to receive healing or helping someone else to receive healing is to listen very closely to the things that we're going to be covering the next few weeks, okay? All right. So I've put these things down here as little stair steps. Now, one thing about a ladder or stair steps, how do you get to the top? What's the best way to get there?
One step at a time.
And which step do you start on?
The bottom.
The bottom step. If you try to start on the top step, it's very difficult to do, to get up there. Now, here's an analogy. Take mathematics, for example. You know, math seems to be a subject that some people just have had problems with. I don't know why. I seem to always love math, but a lot of people have something about math. They have a mental block. But let's say fractions. You want to learn fractions, for some example. Well, you can't just start off, can you, and just say, if you want to teach me fractions, and you want to teach me what 7/9 means, for example, how are you going to teach me that? Unless you say, well, 7/9, that means 7 parts out of 9 are taken. Well, it's 7 divided by 9 is what 7/9 means. Well, if I don't know what divided means, I'm not going to know how to fractions. To learn about fractions, first you're going to have to learn how to add. 1 plus 1 equals 2. How do you add numbers up? Before you can learn to subtract, you have to know how to add, because 1 plus 1 is 2. And the only way you're going to learn what subtraction means is to know the total minus the 1 that you added in there is the 1 that you added together to get the 2 in the first place. So you have to understand about addition to understand subtraction. And you have to understand addition and subtraction to understand multiplication. And you have to understand addition, subtraction, and multiplication to understand division. And you have to understand addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division to understand fractions. And that's the order you have to take them in. Now that's what we're going to do in this healing thing. Because so many times we're trying to start off at an area that we're not ready for yet. And so what we're going to do is start off with a desire to learn. Then we're going to take it one step at a time. And when we get to the top step, it's going to be easy as falling off a log to receive the healing that you need. And I promise you that. If you will follow along with this, or if you have some friends that you think could use this, it's going to show you how you can obtain healing every single time. Now that's a bold statement, but by the time we're done with this lesson, you'll understand what I mean if you don't already. Now, there is a problem, however, and I've mentioned part of it, and that is trying to start off on the top step. Now let's go back and let's, just for fun, read what the top step is, so we'll know where we're headed. Now, we're not ready to go there yet, possibly, probably not. I know I need some work before I'm ready for this. And so what we're going to do is show where we're going. Now, even though we're not ready to get the top step, it's all right to know there is a top step and what's on the top step. But I think we'll point out some things here by reading this to show us why we have to take some steps to get there. All right, now I've quoted Matthew, Mark 11, 23 and 24. Now let's just very quickly read it again, what Jesus is saying here. Because all that we need is in these two verses, except for the fact that we have to build ourselves up to the point where we can do what's in these verses, okay? So what's in these verses? Jesus said this. Now here's another thing to keep in mind. Who said this? Now, this, if it was just me talking, and I've invented this book, and in this book I've written these words, you need to take that with a big grain of salt, okay? But the thing that we know is that I didn't write this. That the Holy Spirit, through Mark, put these words down. Jesus said them first, and then they were so important that the Holy Spirit made sure that millions and millions and billions of people 2,000 years later would still have the words that Jesus spoke this day back there, because they were going to be so important. Now here they are. Jesus says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says," now don't check out on me, you've heard it a million times, but listen to what he says, "shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Now we've heard that so many times, and we've maybe even tried to use it in our lives to the point and not seen any results to the point now we can read it, and sometimes it just goes in one ear and out the other. But what we're going to do is we're going to start fresh, remember, with all these scriptures. Pretend like now you never heard this before, that Jesus Christ himself was in this room speaking these words to you, and you've got a problem. And Jesus goes on to say, "Therefore I say unto you," Chuck, Thorpe, Karen, Marianne, and everybody else in this room, Jesus is talking. He says, I'm not pointing out, I'm just saying, if he was here, it's that personal. Mm-hmm. "I'm saying unto you, people sitting in the Fitzpatrick's living room, what things soever you desire," right away, I'm sure each one of us in this room can think of some things we desire. And we think, what's he going to say? "There's some things I desire." This is Jesus talking. "When you pray or ask for them, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them." Wow. good news. Jesus is telling us exactly how to, 100% of the time, get whatever it is we desire. It's that simple. He's telling us how. He's giving us the ingredients. Now, did Jesus say, what things soever we desire, we shall have? No. He didn't say that. That's part of it. He says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. Did he say, whatsoever things you pray for, you shall have? No. But so many times that's all we do. He never promised anything if we just pray for it. He never promised anything if we just desire it. He never promised anything if we desire and pray for it. What he did promise is that if we desire something, pray for it, and believe that we receive it when we pray, then we shall have it. You see that? Now, here's the thing with healing, especially. It applies to anything. But so many times, somebody will say, you know, I've got this situation, I was diagnosed with this, would you pray with me? And so we launch into a prayer with that person, and we don't know where they're standing, we don't know what their belief is, we have no clue of what their fears are, if there are any, or wherever, and we pray. And then that person goes away. Let's say, for example, they go to a church service somewhere, and there's a person there, and he says, anybody wants prayer, come up right now, and we're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to pray, okay? And let's say you're diagnosed with cancer, for example. Not you, or your friend, or whoever you're with. So that person goes up forward and gets prayed, all right? And they walk back to their seat, and that night they go home from church, and they begin to examine themselves, and they begin to think, well, do I feel any different? Do I look any different? Do my symptoms seem alleviated in any way? And then they don't see any change. And so the next week, church service, they're in another church service, maybe, for example, and there's another guy there. And he said, if anyone here needs prayer for anything, come forward right now. We'll lay hands on you and pray. So they get up, they go forward, and they lay hands on them and they pray. Now I ask you a question. Did they desire healing? Yes. Did they pray? Mm-hmm. Did they believe they received when they prayed? Well, if you're going up again,
you're checking out to see.
Checking out to see. You did not believe you received when you prayed. Okay, just that simple. You say, boy, that's hard. How do we get there? We're going to get there. That's why it takes steps to get there. You know, really, when you believe that you receive when you pray, you're sitting out there in the audience, and you were prayed for last week, and the healing evangelist comes to your church, and he says, does anybody here need healing, would like to come forward? If you believe you received your prayer, you sit there and say, no, I don't need to go up, because I've got it. Praise God. Now, do you understand the difference there? One person believes they're going to be healed. The other person believes that they have received all that they need, and it's working in their system now to effect a healing and a cure that will be manifested at some point in the future. There is a difference. I'll say that one more time. To desire and pray without believing you received when you prayed is hoping. And that is believing, and you can even believe that you're going to be healed sometime. But that's not what's required. That's not what he said. He did not say, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you'll be healed sometime, and you shall have it. He didn't say that. He says, believe that you receive when you pray. And that's a very, very important distinction. As a matter of fact, that's what faith is. Anything else is hope or strong hope. If you're believing that sometime in the future God is going to heal you, then that's hoping. You see, future tense is always a hope. It's going to happen. The only reason I'm pointing this out is not to bring any sort of, gee, maybe she's saying I've been doing this wrong. It's to clarify areas in our lives that maybe we haven't fully understood that have held back things that got, maybe not healing, could be anything, could be finances. Mm-hmm. When you got saved, how did you get saved? You heard something, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Faith comes by hearing. All right? You believed it. You acted on it. Now, when you desired that salvation and you prayed, did you believe that you received then? Or did you believe at some time in the future you were going to be saved? What did you believe, Matt? What did you believe, Eunice?
That night.
We believe it's the same thing. The only thing that's different is that with healing, our body is saying something else. That's the big one. It still hurts. It's still in pain. But since when does your body have anything to do with it? You understand what I'm saying? These things start in the spirit first, and as we believe them in the spirit, they come forth and eventually affect our flesh. And it may be sooner or later. It will happen eventually if we believe we received when we prayed. Now, I'm pointing this out to show you where we're going and why we have to build to get there. Because unless we've got some foundational knowledge, there is no way on God's green earth that we're going to be able to believe that we receive when we pray unless we have additional knowledge other than this verse. You know what I'm saying? Otherwise, we're just trying to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and say, I'm just going to grit my teeth and believe, and you can't do it without some additional information. Let me give you an example. Let's say that a couple of us want to play golf. Let's say Chuck and I want to play golf. I don't know if Chuck plays golf or not, but... You don't play golf, Chuck?
Oh, yeah. I've tried a
couple. Let's say you and... I know Matt plays once in a while. The three of us are going to play in Thorpe. We're going to get a foursome up here. Four guys are going to go out and we're going to play golf, all right? Now, let's say I just come up with this in my mind. I want to play golf with Chuck, Thorpe, and Matt. I'm just going to believe that they're going to show up at Raccoon Run Golf Course at 9 a.m. next Wednesday, and we're going to play golf. I'm just going to grit my teeth. I'm going to believe it. All right? And I go out there, and I show up, and none of you are there. What's the problem? I had no basis for my belief, right? I couldn't believe I received because nobody told me anything. I don't have any word evidence. See, that's what we've got to build up here to get up to the point that we can believe or receive when we pray. We have to have some more foundational scriptures to be able to do that. We have to have some additional knowledge. Just like for us to meet for golf, I've got to have some knowledge. You guys have agreed to show up there. Okay? Now let's say we've all agreed to show up. We've talked on the phone, all four of us. We agreed to meet there at 9 a.m. on Wednesday to play golf. And let's say I just sit at home. And I don't go. And I just sit there and say, boy, it's going to be fun playing golf. 8:30 comes around. I'm sure you're going to enjoy playing golf. 9 o'clock comes. Boy, golf is going to be fun. 9:30 comes and I'm saying, golf is great. I'm going to have so much fun. What's wrong?
You didn't go.
I didn't act on my faith. I believed we were going to play golf, but I never acted on it. I never showed up. So am I going to enjoy the golf that day? No. See, it takes more than just action. It takes more than just faith. Unreasonable faith. I mean, you can't just believe everybody's going to show up with nobody. See, we have to have some knowledge of what the Word of God says about healing. We have to know what God's will is concerning healing. We have to know what kind of person God is. Is he a giver or is he a skinflint? Does he hold back? I mean, let me give you an example that I've just recently come across this truth. If you're going to learn something from God's Word, or even teach somebody else about God's Word, the best thing to do is to first teach the God side, and then teach the man side, and then the man side becomes easier. Now that just went over like a lead balloon, because you don't know what I mean. But when I explain what it means is, if, let's take for example John 13:34. That verse says, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you." Now, if I teach you the man side first, or you learn the man side first, it just says love one another. That's our part in the thing. That's what I mean by man side. And if you've never had a good example of what love is, I can talk till I'm blue in the face, and you're not going to know what to do. You understand that? Mm-hmm. You talk to a person that comes from a broken home, mm-hmm. or had a father that was a hard taskmaster, and you tell her to love someone, or him to love someone, they don't know how to love. They don't know what love is. They've never seen it. But see, God is smart. God says, love one another as I have loved you. Aha. So if you're smart, if you're teaching the Word of God, or if you're learning the Word of God, you'll learn the God side first. That is, how did God love us? How did Jesus love us? Well, you go back and find out that he loved you so much that he gave his life for you. You go back and find out that his Father loved you so much, he gave his only Son for you. You begin to see that love is tied in with giving. Giving your most precious possession is the highest form of love. Now, after a couple of weeks of that kind of teaching, I tell you to love one another as Jesus has loved you. You've got some basis for knowing how to love someone else. Or Ephesians 5:25 says, husbands, love your wife. If you stop right there, and you've never had any good example of what love truly is, you're going to invent all kinds of things in your mind. I'm going to try to do this, Lord, but what do I do to love my wife? What's a good thing to do? Well, if you read the verse, it says, husbands, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Learn the God side first. Then the man side becomes easy. See, so what we're going to do in this teaching on healing is I'm going to show you in the weeks to come what the God side to healing is first. Because what I've shown you tonight is the man side, and that's tough. It's tough in healing. You've been diagnosed with cancer. The doctor may say you've got 6 months to live. And you say, well, I've got the answer right here. It just says, what things soever I desire, and I desire to be healed of cancer. What things soever I desire, pray. And believe I receive when I pray, and I'll have it. That's all I got to do. And you get down there and I say, I really desire to be healed. I'm going to pray. But I have to believe I receive when I pray? I don't know if I can do that. See, that's the man side. That's our part. But when I show you what the God side part is, and what he's provided, and what his will is, and we go through this for a few weeks, all of a sudden you're going to get to the same step. It's going to be easy. Because you've got additional knowledge. Because you've gone up progression of steps to get there. Because you're not just trying to jump on that top step in the beginning and fall right on your head. And that, unfortunately, folks, is what a lot of people do with healing and a lot of other things. They try to jump right on this top step, fall off, hurt themselves, get wounded, and make up all kinds of excuses and reasons why this doesn't work anymore. Why it's not for today. Why it passed off 2,000 years ago. Why my church doesn't support this. All of these things came about because of this trying this out and not being ready for it, falling down, and then getting mad, sometimes mad at God, or at the very least, try to undermine the word and say, well, it doesn't work quite this way. Therefore, let's invent some new laws that kind of explain why it didn't work. And that's where you get in trouble. You come up with things like, well, it's not for today. Passed out with the apostle. You won't find that in the Word. In the Word, you'll find out Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. I am the Lord. I change not. That's what God's Word says. So, but we'll invent things. We'll say, well, our church believes danger signals should go up if it's not in line with God's Word. Because usually what that means, and I'm not trying to criticize any church here, but what that usually means is we have found some exceptions here where God's Word doesn't seem to work the way we thought it did, and we're going to explain that by this rule. That's happened with the baptism in the Holy Spirit, about speaking in tongues and all of that. Because some people have gotten a little overboard, or someone thinks that isn't what they want in their church or something. They just throw the whole thing out, and all of a sudden we have a rule. We don't believe that in our church. But yet the Bible's very clear on it. What they've tried to do is go to the top step, try something, fall off, and throw the whole thing out. This can happen with a variety of things, and especially with healing, this happens. And so what I want to do in the next few weeks, and if you have any friends that you know that could benefit by this, I'd like to take you from the bottom step and take you to this top step, so that when we get done, you're going to have all that you need to believe that you receive when you pray for healing. Now, I will also have given you a recipe or a series of steps to take on anything that you may desire from the Word. You understand what I mean? By the same technique, so to speak. First, have a desire to learn. Find out the knowledge that you need about the subject, whether it's finances or whatever it is you need. To get to the point, the top step is always the same. To believe that you receive when you pray. But depending upon what the thing that you want to receive, the intermediate steps may be different. There may be different scriptures. If it's finances, you're going to have finance scriptures. It's going to give you God's side of finances. We just had a bunch of lessons on that not too long ago. Or in the case of healing, we're going to give you how God looks at healing. Wouldn't you like God's opinion on this? Mm-hmm. Instead of just what I think, or maybe what my church thinks, not to put down the church, as you understand, but if it's different than God's word, what a prophet or so-called prophet in the church thinks, how about what God really thinks about these things? How does God feel about healing? Has he done anything about it? Once you get these scriptures in your mind and in your heart, then you'll get on the top step and you're ready to believe you receive when you pray. And then we'll show, after you've prayed, what to do. How to maintain the believing that you receive when you pray. Because sometimes the enemy's not going to leave you alone with that nice little belief that you had when you prayed. He's going to fight you a little bit on it. There'll be some battles. We'll show you exactly what to do when the battle comes, when the thought comes, when the doubt tries to creep in, how to overcome it every time, what to do. Okay? Now this is work specifically for you, because you're in control of what you believe, what knowledge that you have, and where you start in all this. It can also help you to locate on which step some friend may be who's diagnosed with something. Because so many times we jump to the top step with them and say, let me pray. And we pray, and they're not ready. They have no idea. See, it's their faith that's going to be important in this. You understand me? It's, you know, when we talked about this in our lessons before, when people came to Jesus, he said, daughter, thy faith has made you whole. According to your faith, be it unto you. And so when your friend needs healing, yes, it's nice if you can agree with them, but if they're not agreeing, if they're not where you are, if they're somewhere on some other step, it's really best to go back, locate where they are, and help them to get to that top step. Now, if it's an emergency, pray, okay?
That's right.
You know, I mean, if you come upon an automobile wreck along the road and there's people everywhere, lay hands on them and pray. You don't say, hello, let me tell you what the bottom step is, you know? You're never going to get there. So you got to use some common sense here. But when you, normally, what happens, teaching someone always works. If they'll respond to it, always. Now there is another way to get healed. Now this is not what I'm going to be talking about in these lessons, okay? Because it's gifts of healing. Now that's a valid way to get healed. But it's as the Spirit wills. And it doesn't mean God doesn't always want you healed. It just means he doesn't always want to heal by that method. That there are times when the Holy Spirit will heal this way. And it's usually combined with other gifts of the Spirit, like the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom. Like God will say to somebody, go to somebody, lay hands on them, and pray with that person. And that's when Jesus would go to them. But when they came to Jesus, it was their faith that was important. So I say that because that is another way of being healed. But when you go to your friend, you don't know that God's going to heal them that way. You know, and unless God's spoken to you directly, like go to so-and-so, lay hands on them, and I'll heal them when you do, then it's probably not going to work when you do that, okay? Just so there is that other kind. God can initiate healing on his own. I want you to understand that through the gifts of healing. But wouldn't you like to have something you can count on every time? And that's what we're going to talk about here. I had a few more things I wanted to say, but we can cover those next week. Any questions or anything? Yes.
I just want to say one thing to that. I don't mean to undermine the direction you're going. I'm certainly not. But after I got out of the hospital the first time I went home and I was reading through Isaiah, I was led to this Isaiah 58:6. And let me just read it to you quickly. It says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? Loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house?" Now, at that time, just before I was sick, we had been traveling all over Eastern Europe and the Middle East and etc., hauling food to hungry people. And we were taking it to the Courier even now in the aftermath of the first Gulf War. And it says, "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and thou bring forth that are cast out of thy house?" Yeah, that's what we were doing. With no reference to Isaiah, we didn't know. It seemed like a good thing to do. We were doing it. But here's what happens when you do. "Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily." Thy health shall spring forth speedily. "And thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am." Now, when I read that, I just broke down into tears. Because he was saying to me, "This is why you have that gift of faith and why you have been delivered from this. You were in obedience with this, even though you didn't do it intentionally." But I had read this before. In fact, our contact man in London had pointed it out to me before we came back. But I never made the connection until that reading. But you find yourself in that situation, I suggest you do exactly what he's saying.
Yeah, I think really the point I think of this passage here is that, you know, be living a Christian life. You know, I mean, you go on, it reads, talks about loose the bands of wickedness, undo the heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, break every yoke. You know, talking about living the Christian life. And as you do these things, you know, you're going to be more in a position to receive from God than you would otherwise. Then, you know, because before he says you're not doing these things and you expect to live this way and have good things happen? I don't think so, you know. We found that out before. So it's not so much a works thing. You do a certain thing and then God will heal me. If I go out, you can't earn this. But you can live a Christian life that makes it more possible for God to bless you. You understand there's a little difference there. I just wanted to bring that out.
Gives you confidence that when you cry out to God, yeah, He's going to hear you.
Right. There's a, you know, you live in the Christian life, there's a faith. Faith, you know, faith worketh by love. That's we right. Found that out. If you're walking in love, your faith's going to work. You know? So, you know, I think that's the context of the thing here. You don't earn it. It's not by works, but it is attached to living a good Christian life. And so next week we're going to cover this thing in a little bit more depth. We're going to start off on the Godward side of these things. Find out how God feels about these things. And I guarantee you, by the time that we get to the end of this thing, your faith is going to be higher on healing. Now, that's something, you know, that we all may need sometime. You know, I mean, we're getting older every day. Our outward man is perishing. But it doesn't have to be sick. God's word doesn't. You don't have to be sick to die. You understand that, don't you? You can just lay down, and the medical people got to call it something, so they call it heart failure or something. Well, yeah, your heart quit beating, so I guess it did fail. But you weren't sick. You don't have to be sick. And so we're going to talk about these things and build our faith in these areas. I'm kind of excited about it. So we'll talk more about it next week. Now let's go over the homework for this lesson. True or false? One of the problems that people have with getting healed is they try to believe they receive healing before they have the faith to believe. Is this true or false? Well, folks, the answer to this question is true. And our text for this particular series of lessons that we're embarking upon is Mark 11:24. And it's a quotation of Jesus. And he said this, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So there's the ingredients contained in this verse. It's all you need to pray for something for yourself, to pray the prayer of faith for healing for yourself, for example. So the answer to this question then is true. One of the problems that people have with getting healed is they try to believe they receive healing before they have the faith to believe. See, before you can believe something, you have to have the faith there. You can't just gin it up. And so we're going to talk about that in this homework. So that the answer to this question is true. Okay. Next question. In other words, we try to start on the top step of our stairway to healing instead of on the bottom step. And that is true, folks. And that's the whole purpose of this lesson, is to show there's a series of steps we have to take before we're ready to pray for our healing. So that's the whole point of this lesson, and this is summed up in this question, which is true. Next question, true or false? The first step to receive healing is to believe you receive when you pray. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, folks. If you look at the figure in our diagram and listen to the teaching, you'll see that's really our final step. See, everything we're doing in these lessons is getting you ready to pray. And then the final step, we actually pray because the faith will be there for the prayer if we'll do it just like we say in these lessons. So the first step to receive healing is not to believe you receive when you pray. That would be your final step. So the way I've worded this question is false. Next question, true or false? This can be hard, talking about believing you receive when you pray, but we can do it if we try our best, because God helps those who do their best, because as the scripture says, God helps those who help themselves. Is this true or false? Well, this is false, folks. It's not hard to believe you receive when you pray if you'll follow the steps in this lesson. So it's false for that reason. Number two, it's false because there is no such scripture that says God helps those who help themselves. As a matter of fact, the scriptures say pretty much the opposite of this. They say things like Proverbs 3:7 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding." Okay, so the Bible tells us that we're to trust in God, not ourselves. And Jeremiah 17 5-8 is another good scripture to look, that says basically the same thing, but in more detail. As a matter of fact, it says in these scriptures we can get in a lot of trouble if we trust in ourselves instead of God. And so the answer to this question then is false. And Proverbs 3:7 again is our scripture here, is trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path. So the answer to this question then is false. Next question. God's word basically says in Mark 11:24 that what we desire will be given if we will pray. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. It does say what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have them. So it's necessary to have a desire for the thing we're praying for, but that's not all of it. And that's not the point of it either. So that'd be a false answer to this question would be correct. Next question. Sometimes we pray before we're really ready. In other words, ready to pray. Is that true or false? Well, that's absolutely true. That's really the whole point of this lesson on the stairway to healing. There's more than one step to get ready to pray. And when we finally get through those steps, then we're ready to believe we receive at the moment we pray. But folks, it takes a little bit to get there. And in these lessons, we'll tell you exactly how to do that. Next question, true or false? It's impossible to please God without hope. Is that true or false? Well, that's false. Hebrews 11:6 says it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is the thing that we need here if we're going to pray. Because remember, our text, Mark 11:24, Jesus said, "Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them, and ye shall have them." See, that's faith, not hope. Faith is a lot different than hope. As a matter of fact, hope is of the soul. The Bible says in Hebrews, it's the anchor of the soul or our mind, where faith is of the spirit, and it's in our spirit or our heart is where we must believe if we're going to get an answer from God. Remember Romans 10:9-10, where it talks about what we need to do to be saved. Romans 10:9-10 says, that if we'll believe in our heart that Jesus rose from the dead and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. Where did it tell us to believe? In our heart. See, in your spirits where it's important to believe. And Mark 11:23 is another good scripture that talks about believing in your heart, where Jesus said right before our text here in Mark 11:24, he said in verse 23, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith, he shall have whatsoever he saith." So see, again, it's in our heart, or our spirit, is where we must believe. So the answer to this question then is false. It's faith that we need, not just hope. And it says it's impossible to please God without faith. So the answer to this question then is false. Next question. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things not seen. That would be Hebrews 11:1 in the King James Version. Is that true or false? Well, it's false, folks. I've reversed it, haven't I? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I had it just reversed in the way I worded it in this question, and that's why it's false. When we pray according to Mark 11:24, we should believe that we will receive sometime after we pray. Is this true or false? Well, it's false. We're to believe we receive when we pray, and then we'll receive the manifestation later. That's true. But it's necessary, folks, to believe that we receive when we pray. In other words, it's settled in our hearts after we pray. And the only way we can do this, folks, is to know God's will in the situation. And that's why it takes a few steps before we get to this top step to get ready to pray. And some of these other steps we'll be talking about in the coming weeks here, or in the coming lessons. And when we get to the top step, you'll be ready to pray. So the answer to this question then, the way it's worded, is false. We should believe that we receive when we pray. Next question. The faith we need to pray for healing comes from trying to believe with all our heart. Is this true or false? Well, this is false. I made this mistake when I was a young Christian. I read a book on faith and got all excited about it. And I made up my mind that day. I was sitting on an airplane coming back from a business trip reading this book. And I thought, from now on, I live by faith. And I was all geared up for it in my mind. But I soon fell flat on my face. And why? Because it was all in my mind and in my own efforts here instead of having any basis for faith. And folks, the Word is our only basis for faith. We have to find out what's in there and what those promises are. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And without that, we can't just gin up the faith. And so that's going to be a big part of getting ready to pray, is getting that Word established in our heart. So the faith we need to pray for healing doesn't come from trying to believe with all our heart. We don't try to believe, we believe. So that question, the answer to this question then, is false. Where does the faith come from that we need to pray? If it's not from trying to believe with all our heart, how do we get this faith? Well, we get this faith from hearing the Word of God. And that's Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's where we get the faith for the thing which we need when we pray. Now, that doesn't just mean hearing any Word of God. We have to hear the Word of God specific to the thing that we're praying about. That's where the faith comes for that thing. And so that's where the faith comes from, though, is from hearing the Word of God. So that would be the answer to this question, from hearing the Word of God. Next question. Okay, I see it now. What I need to do to receive faith for healing is to make sure I read and hear the Word as often as possible. Is that true or false? Well, that's false, the way I've stated it there. It's good to read and hear the Word as often as possible, but that's not exactly what we mean here. You need to read and hear the Word on healing, not just anything. Okay? Now, all the Word of God is good. Don't get me wrong. However, if you need healing, you need to hear the Word of God on healing. If you need finances, you need to hear the word of God on finances. If you need to learn how to raise your children, you need to hear the word of God on raising your children. That's where the faith will come. The faith that you need is specific to the promise in God's word. So I bring this out just because people get the wrong idea sometimes. They think just general faith is what we're talking about here. But when you want to get healed, you need specific faith for healing. That thing that you're desiring, you need faith for that. Salvation faith isn't going to go a long way to receive healing. You need healing faith. Salvation faith is great for salvation. Healing faith is great for healing. Finances faith is great for finances. But just because you have faith for finances doesn't mean that you're going to have the faith for healing. See, depends on how much word you hear in these various areas. And I'll make this even clearer as we go through the remaining questions. Next question. Faith for a specific thing promised in God's word comes from hearing that specific promise. Is that true or false? Well, of course, that's true. That's exactly the point I'm trying to get across here. Faith for a specific thing promised in God's word comes from hearing that specific promise. Folks, that's why God gave us his word. All the promises of God, 2 Corinthians 1:20 tells us, are yes and amen. That's why God put these promises in the Bible, so that we could generate faith. Our Bible is our faith producer, and I'll talk about that a little bit more in a later question. But the answer to this question, then, is true. Next question. This is just like faith to meet me for lunch at McDonald's at 12 p.m. on Saturday comes from hearing my promise that I will meet you at McDonald's at 12 p.m. on Saturday. Was that true or false? Well, folks, that's a silly example maybe, but it's true. It illustrates what I'm trying to get across here. If I tell you that I will meet you for lunch at McDonald's at 12 p.m. on Saturday, you should get faith in your heart. If I'm a trusted source, to meet me at lunch for McDonald's at 12 p.m. on Saturday. It's that simple. Faith comes by hearing. Your faith to meet me comes from me saying I'll be there. And it's the same way in God's word. Faith for healing in God's word comes from God telling you in his word that by Jesus' stripes I already healed you, that Jesus took your infirmities and Jesus bore your sickness, and getting that down in your heart so that when you pray, that faith will be there. So this is a silly little question that I use here to illustrate the fact that faith is specific to the promise. If I promise I'll meet you at McDonald's at 12 p.m. on Saturday, then you can have faith that I'll be there. But if I say I'm going to play golf at 12 p.m. on Saturday and you show up at McDonald's and meet me for lunch, I won't be there because I never said I would. So see, folks, it's maybe, I don't know, I hope I'm explaining this clearly enough, but you need to have specific faith for the thing that you are believing for, the thing you want. Not salvation faith, not some other faith, but faith specific for that thing. That's why Jesus, so many times when he was ministering to people, would try to draw them out in their faith. And when the blind men came to him, for example, and they said, Master, have mercy on us. And he said, what can you believe? Do you believe I can heal you? You know, he wanted them to say something specific to the situation. When Jairus came to Jesus and to heal his daughter, he says, my daughter's at home sick or dying. And Jesus said, I will come and heal her. Okay, that was the word of God for that man, specific to that situation. And so the man turned around and went with Jesus. And as they went, some people came and said, your daughter is dead. Why bother you, the master? And Jesus very quickly said, be not afraid, only believe. See, the man was fine at that point. He had gone with Jesus. He'd say, come lay your hands on her and she will live. And Jesus was going with him. And as they went along, they got some negative news. But the man stood firm. Jesus warned him to stand firm because what he had said in the beginning, come and heal her and she will live, was exactly what Jesus needed to go heal her. And so he was on his way with the man when they got this bad news. But the man never let that news sway him. He went with Jesus, never said anything negative, and that little daughter was healed. But Jesus warned him, didn't he? Maintain your faith. Don't let it be shaken now by this bad news. Next question. Just because a person has great salvation faith does not mean that they will have great healing faith. Is this true or false? Well, based on what I just said, everybody should get this right. That is true. Again, faith is specific to the promise. Next question. This could explain why a holy saint of God who never heard the great healing truths of the Bible died before their time. Well, this is true. It could explain it. It might not. It might be another reason. But I'm just saying, I bring this out here, folks, to illustrate the fact that just because somebody is a holy person, a very good person, they're in church every Sunday, they work on things for the church, they're a loving, kind person, and they get sick and die does not mean that God didn't want them healed. It may simply mean, may, and I emphasize may because I don't know. I mean, you know, there might be other reasons. But it could be that they had great faith in other things, great salvation faith, but maybe they'd never heard the word of God on healing, that Jesus always wants to heal everyone that comes to him for healing, that by Jesus' stripes we were already healed, as a matter of fact. Okay? Maybe they never understood those healing truths. And because of that, they didn't have faith specific to healing. See, just because somebody's holy and good doesn't mean that they maybe have all the truth there is in this area. And so I bring this out because a lot of times people get puzzled. They say, well, I don't understand it. I know a person and they believe God and they were a good person and they died, so God must not have wanted them healed. Folks, don't let the enemy put that bit of untruth upon you. You don't know why they died, first of all. And number two, if they didn't have this faith, specific healing faith, they could die. Simply because nothing wrong with them, they're holy, they went straight to heaven when they died, but maybe they never knew. Maybe no one had ever told them that by Jesus' stripes they were healed, that Jesus took their infirmities and bore their sickness, that Jesus redeemed them from the curse of the law, which included every sickness and every disease, even those not written in the book of the law. Maybe they hadn't heard those great truths, and because of that, their faith was weak in this one area. So we have to be careful here. Now, in this question, I said this could explain, and it's true, it could. Now, don't jump off the deep end here and say, Mike said that because so-and-so, if you don't get healed, it's because you didn't have the healing truths. No, I didn't say that. I said it could be the reason, okay? I'm trying to bring out a point here that faith is specific to the promise. There's other reasons people can die. Sin is another one. Jesus went to the man that he met later after he'd healed him at the pool of Bethesda and said, don't sin anymore, lest the worst thing come upon you. So sin can be a problem. Not always. I'm not saying it is always, but it can be. Ignorance, remember in Hosea 4:6, the word of God says that my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. So people can die of things that God doesn't want them to die of simply because they don't know. They don't know that Jesus has already purchased healing for them. And that's really why we have this Bible school, is so we can bring out some of these truths that maybe not everybody doesn't know. Okay, now let's go on to the next question. Therefore, God's Word, as revealed in our Bibles, is the Christian's faith producer. Is this true or false? Folks, this is absolutely true. That's a primary purpose of God's Word, is to produce faith in God's children. Because all the promises in God's Word have a yes answer, according to 2 Corinthians 1:20. 1 John 5:14 and 15 says this, if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So the whole key is knowing God's will in a situation. And God's Word is His will revealer and His faith producer. I ought to do a lesson on that sometime. God's Word, our will revealer and faith producer. So anyway, God's Word, as revealed in our Bibles, is the Christian's faith producer. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. And that is a primary purpose of God's Word. And so the answer to this question is a big true. And our last question. This tells me that I will not be ready to pray effectively until I have God's Word in my heart for the thing for which I'm about to pray. And this is true. That's it. You got it. And that completes our homework for this lesson.